Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good to see you. Welcome. As Blake shared, I'm the Adults Ministry Pastor here at the Coeur d'Alene campus, and I'm excited to dig into God's Word together. As he already shared, thank you, fathers in the room, and thank you for our Heavenly Father. Before we jump in to this, I would love for us to look at Psalms. And for us, I always love to pause for a minute before we jump in to our main content and put our minds on God, because there's all kinds of things going on when we come in here, or we all come in here with different weeks and things, and it's easy to just kind of come here because that's what we do. But I love this passage to help get our minds on God as we look at his word. It says this. It says in Psalms 139, 17 through 18, it says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." Regardless of what you're thinking about today, I hope you know that there's a God who is thinking about you more than there are grains of sand on planet Earth at any given point. That's a lot of thoughts. And it says that they're precious thoughts. I think about the things that are most precious to me. I would say God and my kids, my wife, right? Very few things that you would say are the most precious things. But yet God thinks about you to such an extent, it's overwhelming to process. And my hope is as we come in here today that God would use his word to speak to your heart, to encourage, challenge, equip, transform. It says that God uses his word to help transform us. And so with that, I hope that God would speak today and that you would have ears to listen. We're in week three of Paradox, as Blake shared, and wanted to review if this is your first week. Here's what we're talking about when it's about a paradox within the scripture. We've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Paradox is a statement or a situation that may be true but seems impossible or difficult to understand because it comes in two opposite facts or characteristics. Last week, we talked about the ability of what does it mean to really be blessed. And he talked about this word barak at the core as you look at the definition, and that it's a posture of being bent down, kneeled in submission, either forcibly or by choice to acknowledge what is good. Anyone get a lot out of that last week? It was so good. The first week was an intro, and we're talking about these Beatitudes and how God says that we will be blessed. And this week, we're talking about blessed are those who mourn. How do you put the word blessed and mourn together? That's why it's this paradox. But we're going to travel through this today. And this is the passage that we're looking from. It's Matthew 5. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's what we talked about last week, the poor in spirit. This week, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." When you look at this word mourn, in the definitions, one of them is to lament to. Do you know what it means to lament? We've kind of lost that in our culture. Lament is an outpouring of either anguish or your heart before God. And in fact, this is the strongest term for mourn in the context of the word and in the original language. The word for mourn here is the same words used when it comes to Jesus being crucified on the cross. That's how strong this word mourning is as we look at this word to mourn. Blessed are you who mourn. Does anyone just wake up every day and you're like, man, I'm so excited to mourn today? Right? We often don't want to mourn, right? We don't want, our culture is very much about distractions, or, you know, you push down your emotions, or you stay busy, distract yourself. You don't show weakness. But here Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So we're going to talk about this. If you're following us in our notes, for my notes people in the room, the first section is a fallen world. As we're talking about mourning, we have to realize that we are in this fallen world. And in this fallen world, there are all kinds of things that we can mourn. You see, God made the world in perfection, and he said it was good. But then when sin entered into the world, it became this other thing that entered, and there's all kinds of broken things in this fallen world. It doesn't take long to look at the news or look at the things that are happening. There's all kinds of brokenness. This is what it says in Romans 8, even as believers in this fallen world. It says this, it says, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies that he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. You see, as we look at this passage, it says, even as believers, all of creation, even believers who have the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of future glory, we groan inside ourselves. We realize that this is not what it was meant to be, that there's this brokenness and sin and suffering. And although we believers have hope, we know the end game, there's still this reality of a fallen world. Today, as we go through this, we're going to talk about the different kind of things that happen and ways in which we mourn. And then we're going to come back and talk about how God comforts us in it. And as we go through this journey, follow with me, knowing that we're going to get to the spot where God gives us some things in order to be comforted. But in this fallen world, we know there are things like brokenness, disease, suffering, death. There's this reality that there are these things that take place that are hard to go through, isn't there? And one of the terms that I love is in mourning, you have to feel it to heal it. Have you ever heard that before? You have to feel it to heal it. For me, growing up in wrestling culture, you always learn to not show weakness, and you push it down. You always got more within yourself, which some of those are good principles, but when you take them to heart, I remember I was sitting in a wrestling room a couple years back, and one of the coaches had a kid crying, and he was a good guy, but he said in front of everyone after this kid was crying, he said, "This is not a crying sport." He said, "You need to suck it up, stop being a baby. You don't cry, you get in there and you give it everything you got," which at the face surface is you wanna teach kids resilience, and there's some good things within that. But I thought about that for a minute and I'm like, man, this is a 5-year-old kid, right? And what does a 5-year-old kid hear with that? I can't feel things, right? I can't show any weakness. Instead of, man, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay you got a bloody nose. It's all right to take a minute. Just know it's gonna be okay. And then get back in there and try your best, and that's all you can do. There's a very different approach to the terminology. You see, in the broken world, there are things that are heavy on our hearts. Maybe in here today, there are things that are heavy on your hearts. And in the brokenness, instead of, man, feeling it to heal it and bringing it to God and all these different things, we can turn to so many different things for distractions and numbing out, can't we? I don't know about you, but it's so easy to do. But in this fallen world, there is this heaviness that we can go through. We can have people, not only brokenness and disease, but we have people hurt us. Have any of you ever been hurt by someone? People can hurt us. People who are supposed to be protectors of us. People who are supposed to be in your corner. People who are supposed to be someone who come alongside you. The people we love the most have the ability to hurt us the most. You ever discover this? On the other end of that, hurt people hurt people. Have you ever hurt anybody before? Right? Maybe we didn't mean to, or maybe we did. But in this fallen world, we hurt people. And it hurts our hearts. And then we turn to things oftentimes that we shouldn't, to deal or cope or distract. Whatever that is, there's this reality of rejection or abuse, and it's hard. God says, blessed are those who mourn these things, who cry out to God, that knows that it's hard and difficult. He says, you're going to be comforted, which we're going to get to. Maybe that's you today. The other thing in here is loss. Have you ever had a dream and your dream died? Yeah. It can be hard, right? When you're like, man, God, and maybe even it's a good thing. You have a dream that you want to fulfill something or do something. You feel called to it. And maybe it didn't pan out the way that you wanted it to, or it didn't go the way you had planned, or God, what are you doing? I thought this was we have a mourning of something that's lost. Whether that be a relationship, whether that be someone who you love who passed away, and it hurts your heart as you see it, there are all these things in this fallen world. We mourn sometimes our health. Have you ever had to deal with something health-wise that you're just like, man, this is so hard? You know, for me, when I was got clean and came to know the Lord and started serving God, and man, God just changed my life, and it was so cool to see him moving in my life. It was a good season. And have you ever been in a really good season just to kind of get hit all of a sudden, and then stuff starts to crumble? We have high moments and low moments, but one of the things that I often mourn as I was processing this is my mental illness that I deal with now from all the drugs that I did for so long. That although God has redeemed my life, every day for me, I have to deal with this stuff that I have to experience from some of the choices that I made in the past. And I mourn it. I mourn when I have to fight depression, or I mourn when I have to fight anxiety, or I mourn what, maybe for you, I don't know what that is. But God says, blessed are those who mourn. You will be comforted. So there's this fallen world. But in this fallen world, here's what I want to say. It's not all doom and gloom, because we have a Savior who came to die for us, who understands us, who loves us. Listen to this in Hebrews 4. It says this. It says, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Do you know that it says that we can go boldly, confidently, without fear? We were sitting at the dinner table the other night, and as I was prepping for this, I asked my kids, we read this passage, we talked about this passage, and I said, what does it mean to come boldly before God? And my son raised his hand, he said, with zero fear. And I was like, yes, that's good. We talked about that we can go right into his presence because he wants to be with us. Here we have Jesus, the Son of God, the God of the universe, came down and became one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. And when he was here, it says he went through all the same testings that we do. And maybe that looks different in variations, but he went through suffering to the fullest extent, even further than us, because he took on sin on our behalf. His father turned his back on him, and he gave himself up on the cross and took the penalty for sin. You see, he's a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief, it says. And so it says he understands our heavy hearts, and that he wants us to come to him to get grace when we need it most. Where are you sitting in your chair today? Are there things, as we're going through this today, that you're like, man, there are things that I mourn? And maybe for you, are you turning to things you shouldn't, or are you pushing it down, or are you allowing yourself to feel it, to heal it, to bring it before God in all its fullness? One of the core things within mourning, the definition of lament, we're going to talk about that here more in a minute. But in this challenge, I want you to hear this, there is hope, amen? There's hope. We know the end. Someday he's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to wipe away all pain. There'll be no more death, nor pain, nor sorrow anymore. And in the process, as we wait for the return of Jesus, we have a high priest who understands us, who pleads our case, who walks with us. But it's not always easy. Do you ever hear the promises of God and you're like, man, God, I know that that's what you say. I know that I'm blessed when I mourn, but sometimes I don't fully see that in my life. You know, what's crazy about how God has made us, because we're in the image bearers of God, and because we're made in the image of God, God gave us the ability to have free will. And because of that, what we receive as truth becomes reality to us, even if it isn't based in reality. Did you ever realize this? Did you ever really full-heartedly believe something just to find out later it wasn't true? But you lived your life according to that thought or belief or something that you were told, only to find out later that it wasn't true. And you're like, man, I bought into that for a while. Have you ever been in one of those moments? I remember one of those moments when I was going through my stuff, and I couldn't see what God was doing, and the advice was this. It was, you can't believe what you see in your circumstances right now, what you're thinking in your mind, or what you're feeling within yourself. You have to rely on the presence and word and people of God. Because what we believe becomes reality to us. So will we, in the moments of going through this fallen world, will we believe what we see in our circumstances? Will we believe what we feel within ourselves, or what we think in our minds, or will we stand on what God says is true? It's not easy, is it? But we have all kinds of these realities that we mourn. Another reality, which is a big one today, the other part of this that it's talking about when it talks about mourning is mourning your sin. Did you know that? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. A part of this passage is talking about a mourning of our sin. Did any of you in here realize fully how jacked up we all are, right? Now, for some of you here today, you don't need to hear and be reminded how jacked up you are, because you beat yourself up seven ways to Sunday before you're even out of bed. For you, I hope you hear a different message as we journey through this, as we get to the end of this message, that there's a God who loves you, who's died for you, who knows you, who wants to work in you. But the reality of it is, for some, there needs to be this reality of going, I have sin. And it does cost my God everything, even though salvation is free to me. One of the passages that I want to hit when it comes to this reality in Ezra What's happening in Ezra is that the people were entrenched in sin. They had gone away from God yet again. And this prophet who is delivering messages on behalf of God is getting ready to give a sacrifice on behalf of the people. And he's the one communicating from God to them about their sin. And I want you to see Ezra's heart as he does this. This passage just blows my mind. It's Ezra 9. It says this. It says, at the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from where I sat in mourning with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and I lifted my hands to the Lord my God. I prayed, oh my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are higher than our heads and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the day of our ancestors until now, we have been steeped in sin. Here's why this blows my mind. Because here's this prophet who's speaking on behalf of God, who's being obedient to God's call. He doesn't stand up and say, you wicked sinners, here we are again. You're terrible. Turn or burn. He doesn't say that, does he? He is so broken by the realities of his sin, even though he is walking with God, living out faithfully for God and his calling, he realizes that he is just as much in need of a sacrifice as all the other people. And he says, God, our sins have gone higher than the heavens. God, we have been steeped in sin. Forgive us, oh God. I want to ask you today, is your heart a heart of humility? I think God, on purpose, Jesus, when he unpacks the Beatitudes, I think it was on purpose that blessed are the poor in spirit. I think that one was first on purpose. Because when you walk with God, you can't help but walk with humility. Anyone ever experienced this? The more you walk with God, the more he reveals. For me, it used to be drugs, and I thought that was my only problem. I say this all the time, but now when I walk with Jesus more and more, I see my flaws, and here's what the devil would love. He would love to go into that moment and accuse you and beat you down and destroy you and to guilt you and shame you. But guess what? When we mourn our sin and we go, God, please forgive me. Our sin has reached higher than the heavens. Not just the sins of society like drunkenness or addiction, but my selfishness, my pride, my I want what I want. I want the things of this world. I choose myself over you and others. Those are the things that we mourn. And when we do confess those, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen? We don't have to stay there. Here's another amazing passage in Luke 18 that I love. Jesus is telling a story because the Pharisees were really angry that he was hanging out with despicable sinners. I love this passage. It's in Luke 18. It says this. It says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I want to ask you today, in your heart, in your heart of hearts, not the stuff you see on the surface that we often display for everyone to see, but in your heart of hearts that only God sees and you know, are you a Pharisee today or a tax collector? Because it's really easy, even in the worst of situations, to then start drifting over here, to go, I'm not like them, and I'm not like them. See, God says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The tax collector beats his chest. He can't even look his eyes up to heaven and goes, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And there's no implication in this story that he understood that he walked away justified. Did you see that in the story? It doesn't say, and then he realized that God had justified him and he went home happy. There's no implication. So here's what I want to say to you, church. When we have a heart of repentance and we go, God, forgive me, you are forgiven. Amen. Do you live that way? Do you praise God? Do you go, God, forgive me? I mourn my sin. I mourn this selfishness. I mourn this pride. I mourn when I don't act well with my kids or my wife or at work, and I so badly want to do what you want me to do. That's the evidence that the Spirit is changing you. But then will you stand on the truth, church, that says Jesus said it is finished, so it is. And if you're in here today and you don't yet have Jesus, here's what I would say. There is no other way for you to be justified. It says that we are utterly helpless, that we are in the position of an enemy of God when we do not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And yes, we mourn sin, but we don't have to stay there, church. Listen to this in 1 Timothy 1. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. As you came in here today, I don't know what the position of your heart was. But today I hope you hear that you have a God that in the midst of your mourning has made a way for you, and his name is Jesus. And would you walk into that today? But here's what I say. For some, what you need to hear is if Paul himself, who was an apostle of Christ, says, I'm the worst of sinners, current tense, then we never move beyond the reality that we need Jesus just as much now as when we first received him, amen? If anything, you realize how much more you need him. Would you walk with him? You see, Paul realized his standing before God. But he said, God uses me, the worst, to show the rest of everyone else that anyone can come to him. Which leads us to our next piece. If there's mourning because of this fallen world, and there's loss, and there's suffering, and there's death, and there's bad news, and there's stuff that's happened that's out of your control that people have done to you, or circumstances, what does this comfort look like? What does it mean? Christian, I hear you. We have hope, but I just don't see what God's doing right now. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 1, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, listen to this, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we never thought we would live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and we learned to rely on God who raises the dead. I want to ask you today, Have you ever felt crushed? Have you ever just felt completely overwhelmed? Do you know that some translations say that Paul in this passage say that he was despairing of life itself? Have you ever despaired of life itself? I want you to see something in here. In this passage, it doesn't say that comfort is comfortable. In fact, in here it says that you're gonna go through all these trials. You're gonna feel crushed at times. But God in the middle of it is gonna comfort you and be with you. And even though you don't see it right now, would you trust that God is going to comfort you? Then you're gonna get to turn around and comfort the same kind of people that are going through what you're going through. Have you ever went through something so hard and then all of a sudden you find someone in your path that's gone through the same thing and it gave you just a joy to share with them? And then they said something like, I don't wanna burden you. And you're like, oh my gosh, this doesn't burden me. This is life to me. This is life to me to encourage you and comfort you in the way that I've gone through. Now I see how God's gonna work through this in this situation. Comfort doesn't mean comfortable. And he has given us many things in the ways in which he comforts us. And one of them is his promises and his presence. Listen to this in Hebrews 6. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Listen to this. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. In our men's group the last couple weeks, we've been reading a book and it talks about storing up God's promises for our times of trouble. And for me, I have to do this all the time. I have to have them on repeat. I have to know verses like Psalms 103. He forgives my sin as far as the east is from the west. Isaiah 43:2, when I go through deep waters, he will be with me. When I go through rivers of difficulty, I will not drown. I have to go and look at verses, Matthew 28. Be careful, you'll go through many trials and sorrows, but don't lose heart, for I have overcome the world. The Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I could go on and on, that nothing separates us from the love of God. I use these verses all the time, not just for stage announcements or for it to sound good up here. It's because it is life and death, and ways in which he comforts us is his promises. What promises do you need to store up today? And then in the middle of your trials, comfort doesn't always mean comfortable in the way in which we think about it, but to go, I'm gonna put my anchor on what God says. I'm not gonna trust what I see. I'm not gonna trust what I think or feel. Not always, because we don't just ignore our emotions. But when it is muddy and the storm is raging, will I rely on the promises of God? The other ones that he talks about are his people. I'm so thankful for so many people in this church in so many different seasons of my life that literally felt like they were holding me up. Have you ever been in those situations? For some of you, you need people in your corner. And I know hurt people, and all of us are hurt and we're broken and we have sin. So sometimes it gets messy and we hurt each other and it's hard and then it's messy. But God says here that he's gonna comfort us so that we can turn around and comfort others. Here's what I wanna say. How many of you are pushing away God's comfort in your life? Do you go, I should have it figured out by now. I should be better. So therefore, I can't let God love me because I know I should be better. That's pride. Let God love you. How many of you don't let people come in? You don't ask for help and you don't let people help you. You'll help everyone else, but you won't let anyone help you. How many of you are pushing away God's comfort in your life because of fear or hurt or whatever it is, would you let God's comfort in? That doesn't necessarily mean there won't be crushing moments or challenges. It doesn't mean you won't be overwhelmed. Paul says he went through such overwhelming circumstances, he didn't think he would live through it. But it is often that we have to go through that so that we finally let go of our own strength and go, God, I got to rely on yours. Does anyone ever have to learn the hard way in your life? Gosh, I wish I didn't. It seems I have to learn the hard way in every single stinking thing I do. Ever since I was a kid. Someone goes, do this. I'm like, I'm going to do it over here actually, right? Sometimes we do that. And God works through that. But it's not always easy. The last one that I want to say here is literally in the definition of mourning, and it's to lament. Some of you need to lament. Some of you aren't allowing yourself to feel it. And you're trying to stuff it. And you're trying to push it away or distract. Lament. The Bible is filled with lament after lament after lament. Psalm 77, he says, God, have you forgotten me? Have you ever felt forgotten? God, have you slammed the door on your promises? God, I prayed all night long and I was not comforted. God, are you going to ever be good to me again? This is in the Bible. Because God knows what we go through and he invites us to bring it to him. Do some of you need to lament? Do some of you need to go, God, there's this hurt in my heart. You see, he already knows it. I was in sermon team and I asked some of the guys what you would want our people to hear. And some of our staff said a couple things. They said this. They said, would you please not try and do it alone? Another staff said, would you please let yourself mourn and not try to put it down. Another staff said, God knows, and would you go to him like a good father that wants his son to come to him for everything? It was really cool to hear what the staff wanted you to hear. And as we get to a close today, I want you to hear this last passage in Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Listen to this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, discarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Here it's saying, strip off the sin that easily trips you up. Put your eyes on Jesus as you run this race. And he says this, here's how Jesus endured, because Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Says that the joy that was to come, his eyes were set. And I believe you can make a biblical case for the two things that his eyes were set on. One was being united with his father again after having his father turn his back on him for the indwelling of sin and offering himself up. But two, the joy that was to come was all the people who were going to hear the message of the gospel that had been lost. He said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. For all who were going to say yes to the gift of salvation, the joy that was to come was being reunited with all he had lost, which means you and I were on his mind.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.